Please take your Bible, turn to Proverbs 31. Last week we looked at the strange woman, and we saw some contrast to the virtuous woman, but that's where we're going this morning. We'll find that in Proverbs 31. Let's go ahead and read a couple verses before we begin. Proverbs 31, let's start in verse 10. The Bible says, "Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he hath no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girls unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Amen. Amen. What a blessing.
Yes, amen.
Proverbs 31. We know this is the virtuous woman. And what a contrast to what we saw last week. Just the attitude of this woman compared to the strange woman. The apparel, the affections, everything about her is such a stark contrast. The way she treats her husband, the words that she says and what comes out of her mouth. You know, very few places in the Bible do we have direct commands or direct examples of women doing great things. When you stop and think, you know, we have Eve, we have Rahab, we have Ruth, just to name a few. When we consider, we have the virtuous woman. When we move on to the New Testament, we have Mary. We have some other women. Deborah, Old Testament. Let us not forget you. Amen. But really, I mean, the contrast is more speaking to men and man in general. And so, ladies, here's an opportunity to hear directly from God and see through an example of what a virtuous woman looks like. You see, this is the woman that every wife should strive to be. This is the woman that every mother should strive to be, the woman that every parent should want their son to marry. She stands alone. She stands above. There's literally almost a whole chapter devoted directly to the virtuous woman. What is that? 21 verses. That's a lot.
Yes.
God devoted this chapter to this woman. Why? Because he's concerned with a woman's character. He's concerned with her behavior, her entire makeup. And when we contrast to what we see in today's society, where women are sacrificing their femininity for masculinity, they're just one of the guys, where they're sacrificing their children, their homes, their husbands for their careers, material possessions. The world's view of today's woman is one that is independent. She's free. She's domineering. She's unchaste. She's immodest. She's immoral. And that's what we see today.
Right.
For the most part.
Yes.
Obviously, those who have been trained differently respond differently. Those who have been saved, they've submitted themselves to God's perfect ideal for a woman. Today's woman concentrates and focuses on the outward appearance and neglects the inward, which we learned last week, the difference between that strange woman, her apparel and her attire, compared to that which God sees as a great price, which is a meek and quiet spirit, which is not the outward adorning, he says. But today's woman, as we see, whether it's on the TV and movies and magazines, whatever type of print article, whatever you see out in the world, it has become nothing more than a symbol. And it's not right. God would have something more than that, amen,
yes.
For a woman.
Yes.
There is honor in being a virtuous woman, even if it might be looked down upon today, even if it might have some type of reproach carried with it. Who cares what the world thinks, right? We want what God thinks.
Yes.
We want a virtuous woman, one who is respected, one who is revered by, as it says in the Bible here, friends and family and community. And it's interesting, we mentioned Ruth. In Ruth chapter 3, let me just read this one verse, because it's the only time mentioned outside of the book of Proverbs where we read this. Let me turn there real quick. Where is Ruth? She's somewhere over here, huh? Back by Judges, I think. Yeah, Judges, Ruth. Here we go. Ruth 3 and verse 11, the Bible says this. "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." This was Boaz, by the way, speaking of Ruth.
Right.
Wait. "For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous..." How do they know? Because of what they see.
Right.
You see, remember when the Queen of Sheba visited Solomon? And she was just taken back. Not because of what she heard, but because of what she saw herself with her own eyes.
Yes.
Wisdom is seen in how it is displayed. And here we had a virtuous woman by the name of Ruth. And while she's gleaning in the fields, while she's back at the house, everybody knew there was something different about her. She was a virtuous woman. And you know what? She won the heart of Boaz, amen?
Yes, amen.
So let's get back to the Bible. Let's want what God wants. If you want to be respected, if you want to be praised, then don't seek it from the world. Seek it from God. And you can get it when you follow the example of this woman right here in Proverbs 31, amen? Because remember, the praise of the world is empty. It's here and gone. But the praise that comes from God is for time and eternity. So, let's start here in Proverbs 31 and verse 10. We got a couple points. We'll probably have to break this down into two lessons. And so we won't get it next week, but the week after. We're going to look at her value, her virtue, and her victory. And it's all right here in Proverbs 31. Her value, first and foremost, is incalculable. Because what does it say in Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. By the way, just because you're a Christian woman does not make you a virtuous woman.
Right.
Okay, understand that. Just because somebody professes to be a Christian woman does not mean they are a virtuous woman. They need to move on from that profession and begin to perfect, by when I say perfect, I mean mature that Christianity in her life, which will make her virtuous. By the way, virtue means to be morally good, to abstain from vice, to be chaste, upright, pure. A man can also have virtue, but his virtue is different. His virtue is valor, bravery, and strength. Amen? Men? Valor, bravery, strength. So her value, she's a rare find, amen? One among 10,000. Her price is far above rubies, the Bible says. By the way, when we look at the ruby is a very rare and costly stone. And when mined, it's rather ugly to look upon. I watched this interesting documentary, and I think maybe my wife or somebody in the family might have caught some of it, about when people they mine gems out of the ground, and only in the eyes of the jeweler can they see what that lump can become. You see, in the eyes of the jeweler, it's not ugly. He looks beyond that lump of dirt or that rock, and he sees what it can become. And this is an important truth here, because the jeweler makes it valuable.
Yes.
The jeweler makes it something of worth. The jeweler puts time and effort into cutting it and polishing it and perfecting it and setting it so it can shine. Ladies, without the jeweler, you're worthless. The jeweler is what gives you value.
Yes.
Well, who's the jeweler? Amen. The jeweler is God.
Right.
The jeweler is the one that gets that lump and begins to work it.
Yes.
And when he finds you, understand the spirit with what the way I'm saying this, ladies, you're rather ugly because of sin in
right.
your life. Sin makes us ugly.
Yes.
Sin makes us despised in the eyes of God. But he saves us, amen? And he makes you something beautiful. He puts you on his workbench and he begins to fashion you into the piece that he wants you to be. That beautiful piece that he sees that you can be. He places you in a setting that which he has chosen where you can shine. Because, again, somebody could walk right by that lump of dirt, that rock, and not see any value in it.
Right.
But God sees value in it, amen.
Amen?
Hey, listen, ladies, you're valuable in the eyes of God.
Amen.
Don't think you're any less because of what you see out in this world, because of what the world wants you to think that you need
right.
to be, or you should be, or how you should act, or how you should look, or how you should dress. Who cares what they think?
Right.
They're not giving you value.
Right.
God gives you value. And then you become attractive. So the first truth that we can see here is we can be nothing of value without the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Turn to Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16. Listen, I don't know how hard it is, but I'm sure it's very hard to be a woman in today's day and age. And trying to live godly, trying to live submissive to the scriptures, with your attire, with your attitude, with where your affections are to be, and you see what is out here, and everything that tries to tell you that you're not worthless unless you look like this and act like this, you got a battle on your hands, do you not? Listen, Ezekiel 16, watch this here. Where are we at? Let's look at Verse 6. No, let's start in verse 4. Verse 3. Verse 2. Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut. Neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee, this is the Lord speaking, amen, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, said the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water, yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. What a beautiful picture, amen. God is taking care of you, amen. He said, live. And that's what happens when you get saved, amen. You repent and believe the gospel, and God can take something filthy and vile and dirty and something that was just cast out in the open field, and he can take care of it and wash you and mold you, amen. Look at what he does. Verse 10, I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin. And I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thine hands, and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk, embroidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil. And thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. What a paradox, amen.
Yes.
Beautiful through thy comeliness. Listen, God sees something totally different than the world sees.
Right.
Amen. And God can do something so great for you. This morning, if you would just submit yourself to him and stay on his workbench and let him perfect that which he has taken to himself. Amen? You've been lifted up out of the miry clay, praise God. So the first truth is, listen, you're of no value without the Lord Jesus Christ. Without me, you can do nothing, he said. The second truth is God has a plan and a purpose for us. Salvation is just the beginning. The process of sanctification and separation must begin after salvation, and it's a lifelong process of learning to sanctify and submit and separate every day of our life. There's a lot of dirt that needs to be knocked off this jewel, amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians, turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And you know what's, that dirt, it wants to cling to us.
Yes.
It's that weight and that sin which doth so easily beset us, whether we're a man, woman, or a child. Mm-hmm. It must be removed. What's the truth here? Well, we need to sanctify. 2 Corinthians 6, 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. God doesn't want that ruby getting there with a, what is that fake jewel called? Is that zirconium? What is it called?
Cubic
zirconium or something like that? That's fake. That's not the real thing, amen. Don't yoke up with that. Don't get in a setting the jewel that God has perfected with a cubic zirconium, something fake. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now look at what he says. Wherefore, or because of that, because of what I just said, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, what promises? Verse 18 there. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This is what God wants, amen. This is God's desire. We need to learn to sanctify and separate from those things. 1 John 2:15 through 17 tells us to love not the world, neither the things in the world. Why? Because they're totally contrary from what God wants for us. So after he picks us up, he's going to separate us from those things. But what does he do next? Well, the jeweler, he needs to do some cutting, okay? Because that rock, it's not perfected yet. But nobody likes when God wants to start cutting some things out of our life, removing things that are not beneficial to us. Hey, listen, if this thing over here is not beneficial to me, I don't want it. And God wants to cut it off. God wants to remove it. It's like when the pruning of the tree over there in John 15, where he talks about abiding in the vine and the branch that's not bearing fruit, what is he going to do? He's going to cut it off. Why? Because it serves no purpose. God's word will cut right to the heart. The Bible says it's like a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joint and marrow. And it says it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God knows what we're thinking. God knows what we're doing. He knows what's best for us. Yes. And if we allow God to take his word and to just start cutting some things out of our life, taking that hammer of the word of God as he perfects us. Listen, I don't want to be a self-made man where I'm chiseling myself and perfecting myself. I want to be a God-made man. And ladies, you should desire to be a God-made woman. When you cut something, it changes, right? It's different now. Something's different now. It's changed. Why? Because God just did something in your life. And listen, God wants change in our life. God doesn't change, but he wants us to change. He wants us to cut out some old habits and cut out some old ways and cut out some attitudes and some passions and some pursuits because it's not in our best interest, amen? Because the jeweler wants us ultimately to what? To shine. That's the end goal, right? Let your light, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and do what? Glorify God. Because it's all about what? Glorifying God. Our lives need to glorify God. We need to be a reflector of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes God needs to cut some things and cut out old friends and maybe even some family. God let him do his work, amen. He knows what he's doing. No, God, give me that. I'm gonna start cutting. Don't cut there, cut over here. No. Just let him have his way with thee. Amen. You know that song? Just let him have his way with thee. Turn to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. His power can make you what you ought to be. His love can fill your soul and make you free. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:21. The Bible says this. If a man therefore All right, well, let's start in verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. That means set apart. And meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Amen. God's got two vessels here. One's a bright, shiny silver vessel. One's a wooden vessel. But you look inside and that silver vessel is dirty. But this wooden vessel is clean. Which one are you going to drink out of?
Right.
You're going to drink out of the clean one. God wants to use the clean one. He doesn't... Listen, all that luster, it may shine, but what's on the inside? That's what matters. What's in your heart? What comes next? After we got some separating and some cutting, but then there's the polishing. That's when you take that stone and you put it on the wheel, and it's the neatest thing to watch if you've ever watched it. And you can watch it. There's videos out there. It just begins to start shining when that polish, and then you see that whatever kind of stone it is, the ruby, the reds start coming forth, and the green comes from the green stone, and the orange comes from the orange stone, and that opal, and all the colors. It's a beautiful thing. And God is really getting that stone to shine, because after cutting, there's still some roughness, if I can say it like that. There's still some dimness, and God wants to make it, he wants to smooth it out. So you got the salvation, amen? You got the separation, and now you learn the submission. You learn to submit to God, to the Word of God, where you're open to correction, instruction, because it can smooth all things out in your life, amen? Listen, where do we struggle the most? When we put our will against God's. When we say, no, I want to do it this way and not that way. Well, what does that mean? That means we're not submitting ourselves to his will. This submission is now a way of life. And out in this world, we become spotted and we get some nicks and some scratches. And those nicks and those scratches and those spots, they diminish the luster. They diminish that shine. So we need some polishing through the Word of God, and that's what it does. Now, remember, the Bible likens itself to a mirror, does it not? When we look in the Word of God, we see our reflection.
Right.
We see what we truly are, not what we think we are or what somebody may say we are, but what God thinks of us.
Right.
And that's why it's good to spend time in the Word of God and to meditate upon it and to learn of it and to study it, because we see, oh yeah, I need some more polishing. Turn to Ephesians 4. Not any one particular verse, but if you see here in Ephesians 4, this whole chapter talks about this idea. Where am I at? Ephesians 4. So here in verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, semicolon, verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole... Listen, he's rifling off a bunch of commands right now. And each one of these you could preach a whole sermon on. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Listen, when we want to do it our own way, when we forsake the Bible way, we're grieving the Spirit of God. That's not submitting yourself to the Word of God. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. It's reasonable. So, let's go back there to Proverbs. Well, actually, go to Matthew 5. Because as we move on, for a stone to really sparkle, it must be placed in the light. Amen? Because I could have a pretty ruby right here, and we turn off all the lights, or if I'm in the dark, it's not going to shine. You walk into any jewelry store, and what do you see? There are lights everywhere. And they got mirrors, and they got that stone sitting there, and it might even be on a little spinny thing, and that light's shining, so every time that light hits it, it refracts, and you see a little sparkle. What do they call it? The four C's, right? Or five C's, or is it three C's? I'm not a jewelry guy, but it's like cut, clarity, something else. Color. That all makes a difference in the shine. But what are we interested in? Salvation, sanctification, separation, submission. That's what will get our stone to really shine. Because, you know, the more cuts there are and the more angles there are, it gets more of that shine. We can see all the luster and the beauty, the color, the clarity, the cut. As Christians, we are to be light reflectors, not just any light, but the light of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Didn't Jesus say, I am the light of the world?
Yes.
He said that. But then in John 8:12, what did he say? He said, ye are the light of the world. How can I be the light of the world if he is the light of the world? Well, I can be the light of the world because I have the light of the world. Amen? Living inside of me by the Spirit of God. Jesus is the light of the world, but I can be the light of the world, and I can let that light shine, and I must walk in the light as he is in the light to then let that light shine. Then what happens? God gets all the glory.
Yes.
It's not about the stone, amen? It's not about me. Right. It's about that light being reflected. It's all about him. It's all about his work. Remember, Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And then we take those good works. What does it say in Matthew 5:16? I think it's verse 16. Let me get there. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. My good works are coming from what? From his workmanship that he's created in me, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Remember, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name be the glory. It's all about him. All the angels in heaven, all the seraphim and cherubim, they all do what? They cover their eyes, they cover their feet, they fly, they sing, holy, holy, holy. They give glory and honor to God, amen. You see, God can get all the glory as my light shines. And the virtuous woman is known by her actions. If your life is right, others will see it. So, this is where we find a quick problem before we close. You see, every Christian woman can be a virtuous woman, but she's not. Why? Because she thinks she knows better than God. She thinks she knows better than the jeweler. You're not cutting in the right place. You're not polishing enough. Or don't polish anymore. I don't want to go through that. I don't want to do this. She may be okay with a little dirt, just a little sin. Nobody can see it. Nobody knows about it. It's just tucked away over here somewhere. But God's not okay with it. God wants it off. Amen?
Right.
He doesn't want that dirt on that jewel. Remember what he's trying to do for you and what he's done for you. She may be okay with that character flaw, but God wants you to get rid of it. Well, I've always been this way. Well, you can change. Okay? People can change.
Yes.
I mean, people can change. You just look in the Word of God. It doesn't have to remain this way. It doesn't have to stay this way. You can change, and you can change with the help of God, amen? Yeah. Praise God. Listen, we're like the only created beings that has this ability to interact with God and to change who we are to become something better.
Amen.
Don't be okay with those rough edges. God wants to smooth them out. Hey, listen, don't want to be placed in a different setting. You're at where you're at for the most part because God wants you there. He doesn't want you over here in this setting. He's not going to get the glory he's looking for in that setting. He wants you in this setting. Christ wants us to shine where we're at, amen? Ladies, stay on the workbench. Let God finish the work that he has started. Let him sanctify you and separate you as you submit and surrender your will to him. Amen? We've run out of time. We'll pick it up again next lesson. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this little lesson here on the virtuous woman. I pray, Lord, that we all would have open hearts to your word, that you could correct us and instruct us in the right way. Father, what an admiration and what a desirable individual is this virtuous woman. I pray that the ladies of our church, our wives, our mothers, our sisters, our children, our daughters, Lord, that they could exemplify this in their life and bring you all the honor and glory that you deserve. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you. You're dismissed.